Moose hunting season is closing 6 days early in the Chilkat Valley. And we check in on the contamination cleanup of an old shooting range at 7 Mile of the Haines Highway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Moose hunting season in the Haines area is closing early for the first time in a number of years. Alaska Fish and Game issued an emergency order to close the season at 11:59 p.m. this Thursday, October 1st. The harvest management goal for Unit 1D, the Chilkat Valley, is 25 bull moose with legal antler configurations. As of Tuesday evening, 24 moose had been harvested by Haines area hunters. That includes 4 spike fork, 12 3-brow tine, 6 50-plus inch, and 2 sublegal. The press release says, due to concerns that more moose could be harvested and exceed the management objective, an emergency order will close the hunting season in the area. The season began mid-September and was scheduled to close October 7th. The new closing date is 11:59 p.m., this Thursday, October 1st. A cleanup project at 7 Mile of the Haines Highway that's estimated to cost $500,000 is moving forward. The site was littered with trash and old vehicles and was contaminated with lead and arsenic after decades of use as a shooting range. KHNS's Jillian Rogers visited the site and filed this report.
Shooting for practice, or just for fun, is a popular pastime in Alaska, and Haines is no exception. And it's legal to shoot guns on public land. But decades of people shooting at targets without retrieving the casings or bullets has left nearly an acre of land at 7 Mile highly contaminated. Larry Beck is an environmental protection specialist with the Bureau of Land Management, the agency that currently owns the land. He and a small crew are working at the site removing trash and digging up surface contamination.
Before we go, we want to dust off the boots, and when you get home with them, you probably want to wash their dirt out. There's always a chance you may have picked up some lead or antimony or arsenic, copper from the soil. Those are the 4 metals.
As we walk around the site, Beck points out different colored flags, which represent areas they've sampled and divided into a grid pattern.
You know, sampling was done within each one of those grids, measuring the metal content and the depth going down into the soil, and then that got transferred into the report. And so now our cleanup contractors are following those same grids for the removal action, where we're going to physically take the dirt off.
The BLM is working to transfer the land to the state. Before that can happen, it has to be cleaned up. Dennis Teitzel is the field manager for the BLM office in Glen Allen, overseeing the land in Haines. He says one goal of the project is to get the land ready to be transferred to the state, but they still might not take it. It's a 14-acre parcel surrounded on 3 sides by more state land. About an acre of it is contaminated. Teitzel says that the cleanup is about more than just a land transfer clause.
It's a good project. It's needed regardless of why, we're doing it at this point in time. You know, it's a contamination that needs to be cleaned up for health and safety reasons, the public and, the wildlife and the habitat in the area, so we don't extend contamination beyond where it is today.
Beck, who got involved in 2008, said cleanup goes back to at least 2002. Over the past few years, dead cars and trucks, busted up television sets, and truckloads of household garbage, all of which have been peppered with bullets after being dumped, have been removed. More than 80 asphalt drums found buried near the road were also removed. With the heavy lifting out of the way, crews are now digging into the dirt, removing soil saturated with harmful heavy metals from bullets and casings.
A lot of ammunition residues, shotgun shells and casings. There's still some broken cathode ray tube glass, which is impregnated with heavy metals such as lead. There's a pile over here.
Last week, as we walked around the site, workers were busy pushing dirt around with heavy equipment and clearing trees to get better access for the cleanup. The lead contamination ranges from about 3 inches deep at the firing line to upwards of 3 feet deep at the backstop. The site has been used as a recreational range for at least 40 years.
Really highly concentrated lead, which we think may have to be handled in a different manner than the rest of the lead contaminated dirt. We start getting into EPA's hazardous waste regulations when you get the concentration is high enough.
Beck says, according to the findings from a 2013 investigation by Chilkat Environmental, there are about 450 cubic yards of lead, antimony, arsenic, and copper contaminated dirt that needs to get shipped out. But it's not just the ammunition that contributed to the toxic dirt.
And this is really this thick, heavy glass. You can see there's a piece of beer bottle if you want to hold that piece and then compare it in weight to that piece.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's, you know, impregnated with the heavy metals as part of TV screens. I think I've read somewhere that the average cathode ray tube has around 10 pounds of lead in it.
The tainted soil will be loaded into containers and shipped to a processing plant in Oregon, which deals with heavy metal-laden matter. That's where most of the cost comes from, Beck says.
Right now, total, over the years, since what got spent back in 2002 with the first, we're right at about $500,000. The big money is this year, quite a bit being spent shipping contaminated dirt to a landfill, a EPA, certified, approved, permitted, appropriate landfill in the lower 48, which is in Oregon. That's where the big money comes in. Is just.
And that will be on top of the $500,000?
No, that's including the $500,000, yeah.
Both Teitzel and Beck say there is no documented evidence that contamination has had harmful effects on humans or wildlife in the area. But, Beck says, the potential is there. The bulk of the cleanup effort will most likely be completed this fall unless they find more contamination than originally estimated. Beck says if all goes well, the area is expected to be capped with clean fill and seeded with grass next summer. If the chunk of land is conveyed to the state, it's their choice what to do with it. Beck says they could make it into a picnic area or a small campground, but he says there's nothing stopping people from pulling the trigger and turning the site into a shooting range again. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
Katie Craney is using stencils to paint what she calls a ghostly image of the past on boiler doors that have rusted over in the burnt-out Fort Seward Barracks. Craney is one of 17 Haines artists creating installations for the Alaska Arts Confluence's Outdoor Art Project. Craney was inspired by the contrast between the environment humans create and the one nature places them in.
Well, I'm creating a stencil that's inspired from 1900, I guess you could say, Romanesque wallpaper that was inside the officers' quarters. And this is just a rendition of what might have been inside there. It's not an actual replica. I was interested in trying to bring an aspect of the fort back to the space. They were surrounded by this prefab 19th century Victorian home in the middle of the wilderness in Alaska. And so it's really curious to me how we as humans place ourselves in the environment and then also place ourselves in an indoor environment. What we decide to surround ourselves with is kind of a direct representation of our personality, who we are, what we appreciate, what we value. The first time I came to Haines, that was the first thing you see is the fort when you come in. It seems a little out of place. It actually seems quite a bit out of place if you're not expecting to see these white buildings. And I didn't know what that was when I first came here. Like, what is that? Why it looks so unnatural? Like, it seems like it should be on the East Coast somewhere. But yet it's here. And I think that's a really neat history to Haines that we have this. There are these boiler doors, which are so beautiful. They're completely covered in rust and have this really rich color to them. And I'm a little bit obsessed with rusted metal anyway. So I was immediately drawn to them and thought, wow, these are doors to the inside world and to the outside world. So it kind of tied it all together of looking at that wallpaper originally and then just being outside most of the time as much as I can while I'm here. It just kind of made sense to try to tie it in together. It's all just a little bit of a remnant right now, and I think it's really interesting to try to tie that back into what it must have been like for the men here, stationed here, and what it was like, you know, in the dead of winter when they had to open these doors into the outside world. And then I think they were old coal furnace doors, so they were heating the inside. And I don't know, I just really like the play on bringing that ghost image back. I hope that people will appreciate it, and visitors and locals of Haines as well will just have a reason to appreciate the barracks, the burnt out barracks, rather than just turning it into a waste pile. It's actually a pretty beautiful space.
That was Haines artist Katie Craney talking about her artwork for the Fort Seward Sculpture Garden. Pictures and other artist profiles are at khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.